Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from the Psalter 445, the first stanza. Unto the hills I lift mine eyes, whence cometh all my aid. When troubled or afraid, Jehovah to my help shall rise. He made the earth and heaven, his aid is freely given. 445, stanza 1. Scripture reading for tonight you can find in the prophecies of the prophet Ezekiel, and thereof chapter 47, the verses 1 through 12. So we'll read a portion from Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 47, beginning at verse 1. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northwards, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastwards. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth whithersoever the river shall come shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that a fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters, they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus far, let us now try and ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, let it not be evil in thy holy sight when we have entered, we as sinful creatures have entered into the sanctuary and have taken our seat at the church telephone to listen along. That where thou in thy long suffering hast kept and spared us this day, and that by itself is already so much that thou hast given therein, as we heard that on the day of yesterday, that family had to go to the gravesite to bury an unmature child. Oh, what would that be for those parents? And in recent weeks, not only they, but several others in the midst of the congregation. And this coming Friday, that a funeral has to take place in Lethbridge. Oh, then the callings multiply. And might it, O Lord, be given unto us to understand thy dealings with us, that we in the first place may ask for those parents, the families, that thou would strengthen them in those circumstances, that they may feel that thou knowest in a most perfect way what they stand in need of. And no, there never happened a thing here on earth that thou didst do wrong, but to see it, to be convinced of it, to bow under it, to receive faith, to believe that, and that is another thing. That is only when thou would open the heavens and would freely give that. O Lord, what a wonder it is when such sinful creatures as we are, in a midweek service at the end of a working day, have that great privilege to enter into the sanctuary, because as long as we are in the land of the living, then it is still the day of grace, and then especially being gathered around thy holy testimony in a holy place that is separated from the world, that is the place, and how many testimonies are there of that in the midst of the congregation, that is the place that thou would live amongst a sinful people with the operations of thy Holy Spirit, and yet that is to be given each time and again, and there is in us not the least reason that thou would do so tonight. Oh, without that unction of thy Holy One, we cannot utter a single word that would be pleasing in thy holy sight. Then there are not that groanings from within in the hearts of thy chosen ones, and thou knowest how it is When there are no growings, then it can be so dark. O Lord, when in official prayer we try to ask for a blessing for tonight, might it be given unto us to be the mouthpiece of this people, to enter in to that holy sanctuary in the heavens. We began with the singing of that our eyes would be lifted up, but we looked down for most of the time, if not always. But wilt thou lift up our eyes to look on high where thou art? O, what is it, O Lord, living outside of paradise, living so separated from thee, that it then, O Lord, might be given tonight for this one or for that one from in the young generation, in the older people, till the oldest member of the congregation for the first time to see somewhat what it is to be separated from thee, the holy God. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. What would that be a wonder, O Lord, if for the first time tonight one might begin to know thee in thy holy attributes, thou being the holy, the most righteous, the almighty God in the heavens. Oh, then it becomes such a wonder that thou art also a long-suffering God, that thou hast so many dealings with us in the past, that thou wert so long-suffering that thou did not immediately punish us according to what we make ourselves so worthy. Then it becomes reality that we travel to eternity, and eternity is a never-ending eternity, and to have to appear before thy holy throne without a surety. That would be a case for so much regret, having been our entire lives under the truth, having received from thee an own minister, an own shepherd, already for 6 years. O Lord, might we recommend our brother to the throne of grace, as each time is a new time to be as a shepherd. It is such a heavy task. If we have to do it alone, it is an impossible task to lead the sheep of the flock in those places of thy holy word, that they find some food for their souls, but also as a shepherd to protect from all the attacks that there are, those lions, those roaring lions, and there are so many in our days, so many kinds of false religion, and it creeps into the innermost recesses also of our own hearts and of the life of our entire denomination, might it be given unto him with all thy true and faithful servants, to be faithful, to be as the mouth of thee. Thus saith the Lord, that we would not dare to preach anything else than thy holy words. But what is it then necessary, that unction of thy Holy One accompanies that preaching, that a spirit as a spirit of truth will guide into the truth, and then it would be felt in the pews when a minister receives opening in the truth, then it is not for nothing. Oh, then that Holy Spirit is in the midst, and that is what we ask for tonight. That Holy Spirit that could bring that life eternal. Oh, as when we are dead as and hard as a stone, as a rock, and then to give that life and that light, then tears will flow from our eyes, such a long-suffering God, but also a all-sufficient God, that it might be given unto us to believe that in our dark and declining days, with thee there is a fountain of life. But there are so many reasons that thou would withhold, and thou hast given this year in the realm of nature, that it is not that dry as other years. The pastures are green. Might it be a sign and a token for us that thou art not yet finished with thy works in the realm of grace, and that there is more than a blessing for this our daily lives. Wilt thou then return to the churches? Wilt thou give a new reformation? Wilt thou add to that living church? Oh, it is a privilege that there are so many churches here in the area, but that by itself is not sufficient. And if we only have the outward form, and O Lord, that it would be the case, that we have the outward form and that we would stick to it, because without form there will be no life, but that it would be such a frame in our life that we no longer can live in that outward form alone. O Lord, wilt thou come over tonight? Open the scriptures on the pulpit, that it might be given unto it to taste the things that we have handled, that we have to handle, and then thou knowest, as the most wise God, as the all-knowing God, what thy church here in on earth stands in need of, that there might be exercises in that most holy faith, that there is instruction in the way to go. There is a people that cannot take one step in their own light, and they need to be guided from step to step, and therefore they took their place in church, whether there would be a word, a token from thee. Wilt thou take them at hand and wilt thou bring them a step closer. And then there is so necessary that this covering work of thy Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit that is also the comforter of thy church, he will take it out of the fullness of the mediator. Oh, might that be, O Lord, the end of tonight, that his name be magnified, that there is work for that mediator amongst this people. Then thou knowest why in thy good providence we were brought together in this midweek service. Remember thy entire church over the length and the breadth of this earth. Be with all thy servants if they have to bring thy word tonight. Lord, may we also commend each other for all the daily needs and concerns. There are members in the hospital. Will thou bless the means, and will thou give that their eyes might be lifted up unto thee to prepare them for eternity. Be in particular with the young ones of the congregation. They live in such confusing times, and they hear so many things from a religious world which are not according to thy word, and they often miss those living examples where in previous generations thou hast so many of thy people amongst us with exercises in the life of grace. And thou art a free and a suffering God, but also, O Lord, thou art a unchanging God, and thy work will be forever the same also in our days. O Lord, give then what is necessary also when that most faithful churchgoer, that evil Satan, is always there when thy word is being opened. He knows the power of thy word, irresistible when accompanied by the labors, the operations of thy Holy Spirit. And he does not want to lose any of his servants. But, O Lord, he has already so many, and we cannot do without thy work, and thy service is such a good service. O bring then unto that church. And O Lord, wilt thou also help all those that have a task tonight, the custodian, but also in playing the organ, and that it could be that there is something tasted of thy honor in the reverence of thy service and of thy house. We ask those things not that we are worthy the least of thy blessings, but, oh, a small token from on high, a smile. What would that take away the darkness and renew that life of grace? We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us now sing from Psalter 115. All stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? And what follows, the stanzas 1 through 4 from Psalter 115, and in the meantime, the collections will be taken. There is one bag for the church.
Thank you.
Children, tonight I have first for you a question, and I'm glad that I see so many of the younger ones in church. Children, do you know how the Lord makes himself known? How you could know the Lord? You probably know that it is the Bible, God's Word, that the Lord is using as a means to make himself known. That Bible, from the beginning of Genesis 1 till the end, Revelation 22, that is entirely the Word of God. Every word, every little word in the Bible comes from God. And there is not a single word that is in the wrong place. Therefore, you are at the best place tonight, where there is an opened Bible on the pulpit. But now that Word of God, it is not enough that you hear it. Oh, that is good by itself. But that Word needs to enter into, needs to penetrate in our hearts. Yeah, you need a new heart to be able to receive that Holy Word. Now, was there a time that there was not yet a Bible? And if there is no Bible, could those people that live at those times, could they not be saved? Oh, when there, at that time when there was no Bible, then the Lord used different means. You probably know that, because it is in the Bible. How was it with Adam? Adam, after the deep fall, when he had no Bible, how did the Lord do it at those times? Then Adam, he heard a voice, "Where art thou?" So it was with Samuel. He heard that same voice, "Samuel, Samuel." But Samuel did not immediately know that it was the voice of God. He went to Eli, and Eli, a child of God and a servant of God, he also did not notice. Oh, Samuel went to the right place and to the right person. And there can also be in your young lives that there are things happening and that you get questions on which you do not know the answer. Then it is good if you speak to the Lord's people, if you speak to the office bearers. And yeah, then Eli understood that it was the voice of the Lord. At other times, when the Bible was not yet finished, the Lord used other means, not a audible voice, but sometimes, as it was with Abraham, then a man came to him, appeared unto him, and that was God himself. That does not happen in our days anymore. And you know that there were still other means through which the Lord made himself known unto people. Think of that young Joseph and of Daniel. What happened unto them? They received a dream from on high, and in that dream the Lord spoke unto them. No, that is no longer the case in our days. We have God's Word, the Bible. And at other times, there was still a fourth means that the Lord did use. And that was the case with Ezekiel, for instance, and some other people in the Old Testament. They did not receive a dream, but they received, and Ezekiel received, a vision. And a vision, maybe you can the best compare that with a dream that you do not receive during the night when laying on your bed, but during daytime when it is broad daylight, then the Lord in a vision gives things to see to certain people that other people do not see. In particular, he did so with the prophets, and sometimes they are called for that reason seers. They see things other people do not see. And those visions, some of them are in the Bible as the means by which God is making known himself. Those visions, as they are straight from God, they are often very difficult to understand. What those prophets saw in a vision, like Daniel, he have seen things of strange kinds of animals and all kinds of things, images from this daily life that had a meaning in itself. And when you start to think about those visions, the first thing, of course, is that we need the light of the Holy Spirit. But then we have to carefully consider all the details that are in such a vision to understand what the message of God is for the olden times, but also for today. You can compare those visions, as it were, with parables. Then you also the parables in which the Lord Jesus, he told a kind of story, and with that story he had something important to convey, something important which is otherwise hard to understand for us, but with that parable he is making them clear. And so it is with those visions. And tonight we read part of it from the prophecies of Ezekiel. In that book of the prophet Ezekiel, there are many of those visions. But before we go to the text, I want to go with you through that vision that we have read from the Bible, so that you have a little clear what that vision was. And then in the sermon, we have to see what is the meaning of that vision. What did Ezekiel see? Well, Ezekiel, he first saw a man. And that man in the Dutch Bible, it is with a capital letter to indicate that it means God himself, the Lord Jesus. That man brought Ezekiel to the temple. So tonight, we have in our minds, we have to go back to the temple that was in Israel. So it was with Ezekiel, a man that brought him to the temple. And he brought him to the door of the temple. No, Ezekiel was not allowed to enter into the temple, but he was brought to the door of the house. And there his attention was drawn to something special. There was the door of the house, and underneath that door, underneath the threshold of the door, there came some water out of the temple. It was a tiny stream of water. And then that same man, he brought Ezekiel from the temple to outside of the city of Jerusalem. And again, that man points Ezekiel to water. That same water that came from the temple was flowing outside the city. And that water that flew in the eastward direction, there where a desert was. And in the desert, where it was very hot, that water did not disappear. It did not vaporize, but it came a stream of water, and it increased in its size. And first it was a little bit of water, and Ezekiel could walk through it, and it just hit his ankles. And then Ezekiel had to walk some time, a 1,000 cubits, 500 meters, along the bank of the river. And then again he had to walk through that water. And then that water was risen until his knees, and he could walk through the river. And again, on the dry side, he had to walk 500 meters. And then that water had increased until his loins, his hips. And he could pass through the river, go from the one side through the other side. And again, he had to walk in the desert, in the dry land. And after 1,000 cubits, he had again to enter into that stream of water. And then it was such a mighty stream. The water was risen so much, it was above his head. He could not stand in that water, and he had to swim in that water. That is the vision for tonight. And that has, of course, a meaning. That water started with a very, very small beginning, but it increased in its size. And that water that points to the work of the Holy Spirit, with a small beginning, but increasing. What does it mean for us? Children, there has to be a beginning in your life. Some of that water of that Holy Spirit. And when there is such a beginning, then the Lord will take care of it, that it will increase. And that water, where does it come from? It came from the temple, the place, the house of God. Now we will consider this vision that the Lord gave to the prophet Ezekiel to convey that message. And we will have a careful look to all those details in that vision, because it shows who the Lord is and what his works are. The text for tonight, my people, you can find in Ezekiel 47, the first verse in particular, and the first part thereof, and we will read it. Verse 1a as the text for tonight. Afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward, thus far. This text speaks about the water of the Holy Spirit, or we can say it is the vision of the holy waters flowing from the new temple, or the waters from the sanctuary. But the most simple form for the children is that this vision and the text is about the waters of the Holy Spirit. The vision of the holy waters flowing from the new temple. Waters from the sanctuary. And with this text, we can raise several questions, and through those questions we can see something of this text, and we will consider a few of those questions tonight. First, we will see when those waters were shown, because the text starts with the word afterward. And as we said in the foreword, each word in the Bible is in its place and is a word from God. When those waters were shown, afterward, much has preceded before Ezekiel received this vision of the holy waters. In the second place, we will consider the question who those waters did show. It is a man with a line in his hand. That we will see in the second place, who those waters did show. In the third place, who those waters did see. Who did see those waters? In the text, it is not only afterward he, the man with the line, brought, but then it is me, the prophet Ezekiel. He introduces himself here in the text, and there is something with that. He is allowed to see those waters. He, who is named so often in this book, the Son of Man, that holy God reveals things for eternity unto unholy people. But he, as a prophet, was privileged to receive this message. In the fourth place, we will consider what those waters are. Waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. In the fifth place, where those waters did come from under the threshold. And there is not another thing in verse 1. Those waters came from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So although Ezekiel was not allowed to enter into the sanctuary, that man told him that water came out of the sanctuary, and first that water flew around the altar. and then it left the sanctuary. What those waters do in the sixth place, those waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, and that water came down and it increased. It is flowing water that spreads out. And then in the last place we pay attention to what kind of waters are shown to the prophet. Waters to the ankles, to the knees, to the loins, and waters to swim. So first, when those waters are shown, second, who shows those waters? Third, who sees those waters? Fourth, what those waters are? Fifth, in the fifth place, where those waters come from? In the sixth place, what those waters do? And finally, which waters are shown? And we will try, of course, to do that as short as possible. Afterwards, when those waters are shown, the text begins with that word, afterwards. Much did precede. We have to listen careful to God's word. After what? Oh, in the previous chapter, we read about a new temple. And in the end of that chapter, Ezekiel saw in a vision that in a new temple, it was not a real temple, it was in that vision, and Ezekiel was shown that in the temple there were boiling places. There were kitchens in the temple. I had never heard a minister preaching about the kitchens in the temple. I do not know how it is with you. But I myself even hardly did not realize that there were kitchens in the temple. And of course I know that the sacrifices had to be prepared. And it was only until recently, 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we had in Holland a classes meeting, that one of the ministers opened that meeting by meditating on the kitchens in the temple. And those kitchens, what do they meet? The cooking places where the priest had to prepare the sacrifices. Oh, that means that your minister, that all the ministers have to carefully prepare the message that has to be brought in the sermons, when in the study, in the inner chamber, that sacrifice, as it were, has to be cooked, that it would be useful, the meat offerings, that it would be useful to feed the flock. You can understand that you cannot every day live from food from the microwave. There need to be fresh food. And so it is in the life of grace. There need to be kitchens attached to the sanctuary where the sacrifices have to be prepared. And that preparation could only be performed, that was only allowed to do by the priests, the office bearers, and not all the office bearers, not the Levite, but the priest had to do that work in particular. And now you have that privilege of having an own minister, and it is his task to prepare the sacrifice. That sacrifice, the children know that sacrifice, what we need, pointing to
to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a sacrifice for the people. Oh, the sacrifice itself, the Lord will take care for it, but the preparation of it, that is the work of the ministers. But now we do not yet entirely how that is linked with the vision that is drawing our attention for tonight. That what Ezekiel saw in the kitchen was much broader. Ezekiel did see many visions. He was a prophet in exile for 7 years on a row. He had a message from the Lord about the judgments of the Lord. The wrath of the Lord was on his people because they served other gods. They served the idols, and therefore the Lord brought his people under his judgments in captivity. That was also a message from the Lord. We want to hear the gospel, is it right? Oh yeah. And we want to have a well-balanced sermon, and there should be a little bit of law and a little bit of gospel in it. But Ezekiel, for 7 years on a row, he had no other message for that people in captivity than the judgments of the Lord. As long as they would not repent, as long as they would not convert themselves, there was no other message. And that's still the same in our days. As long as you will not convert, as long as you will not repent, then there is no place for the gospel. So it was with Ezekiel. And he saw in the first chapter a vision of the wheels, a vision in which he saw four wheels and living creatures, and then the Lord revealed himself in his majesty unto Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 8, Ezekiel saw a vision of the temple. And he was brought into the temple, and it was a very nice temple. There was outward service of the Lord, but at a certain place he saw a gap in the wall. And in that gap, you know, he had to dig in it. And then there became an opening, a door. And when he entered that door, behind the wall there was another room. And there were the idols served. So we can have a nice outward serving of the Lord. And have the outward appearance and the outward form. And yet, hidden behind the wall, we have so many other idols in our hearts. For instance, they worshipped the sun. That's also one of the idols of our days. And you can tell me better than I can how many idols in your country are be worshipped and served. And perhaps also in your own heart. Not perhaps. Our heart, oh, is full of idols, particularly that idol of I, myself. We are serving ourselves. And as long as we are serving those idols, there is no place for grace. There is no place for a gospel message. And then you can read that in Ezekiel 33, when those judgments of the Lord were fulfilled and the temple was ruined, then Ezekiel received a new message. The temple ruined. What does that mean? If there is no temple, the children can tell me, then there is no place for the sacrifices. And if there is no sacrifice, there is no reconciliation, no forgiveness of sins, then there is no possibility at all any longer. After those 7 years, what would now be the message of the prophet? 7 years of judgment, and then the judgment fulfilled, and no hope left for any better. Then he got a new message from the Lord when there was no hope left. Then all of a sudden his sermons, his preaching is changing. Then there comes a word, a message from on high. I do it not for your sake. I do it for my name's sake. Oh, you have ruined my name among the heathen, but I will take care of my own name. And then Ezekiel, he receives the promises from the covenant of grace. I will give you a new heart. He gets a vision of the dry bones to which he had to preach. And there came life during his preaching in those dry bones. And they collect together. And that life, that was that by the wind of the Holy Spirit, that was the life of grace. And starting from Ezekiel 40, in a vision he is seeing a new temple, a new place to serve the Lord, a new place for the sacrifices, a new place for the reconciliation. And those chapters in which that new temple is shown, oh, those are difficult chapters. I will come back to it a moment later. But you feel that entire book of Ezekiel, there is a line towards the end. And in the end, in that temple, in that new temple, there that water came from under the threshold. So Ezekiel, first he had to preach the judgments, the temple destroyed, and then there came a time, the time of the New Testament in particular, that the Lord would return to his people and give them a place of reconciliation. And now we come to our second question. Not only, now we know the time afterward he brought me again in the temple. Now we have seen what happened before, and that Ezekiel before was already in the temple. He had seen how the temple was ruined. He had seen a new temple. And now again he is brought into the temple. So there is a furtherance in the revelations of the Lord. That is how the Lord works. That's always the case where there is a beginning. Oh, the Lord will not fail. Then that is already a gospel message. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and he is receiving new light, a new vision. Afterward, he brought me again unto the temple. That he, that is that man, about which already was written in chapter 40, verse 3. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate. That same man comes back to Ezekiel, and that man with a measuring line in his hands, he shows new things. That man, the Dutch marginal note says, with most interpreters, may we hereby understand the Lord Christ as the supreme builder of his house, who does not appear in dreadful majesty as a judge, but kindly and friendly as a master builder with a measuring line, like a land meter, for in those times they were accustomed to measure and divide the lands with lines and cords. And that man with that measuring line in his hand, he determines exactly all those distances as a master builder, to measure exactly this new building, which in those times they were accustomed to do with reeds. Likewise, the house of God must be established and directed according to his counsel and his word, so that measuring line that determines all those distances, that is God's word, according to which God's church will be built here on earth. It is not what comes from our mind. It is not what the office bearers think to be right or wrong for the church. No, only the word of God, and that, according to that word, that determines how the church will be in our days. And Ezekiel, he saw that man with a measuring line, that man that was a kind and a friendly master builder. And now I have a question for you. Ezekiel, he was privileged to see that master builder, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen him? He it is that determines the new temple, the church of the New Testament. He it is, according to his measures, the one will be added and the other not. It is he who determines that work of grace in your heart. And has he ever spoken so friendly unto you to include you in that temple, in the church of God of the New Testament? Ezekiel was not the only prophet who saw him likewise. We read that also with Zechariah in chapter 2. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hands. Have you ever seen him, that kind master builder? He still has not yet finished his church here on earth. And now Ezekiel was allowed to see afterward. He brought me again unto the door of the house. That son of man, Ezekiel, he was a son of a priest. And it was according to the custom of those days that a priest had a son, and his son would be again priest, and his son would be priest. So Ezekiel had in mind when he was young to become priest, to have work in that physical temple of the olden day. But because of the exile going into captivity, there was no hope that Ezekiel would become a priest anymore. But the Lord had a better work for him, to become a prophet and to become a priest in that new temple. Oh, as a priest's son at home, he had heard so much about that old temple. Probably he went with his father several times to that old temple. But now he saw something way more than that old temple in Jerusalem. In that vision of that new temple, he saw such wonderful things. Oh, the Lord is so free in using the ones he want to have in the office. Some become office bearer, others not. Some become a deacon, others elders. And sometimes a deacon becomes an elder, or an elder is going from the one office to the other and has to become a minister. So it was with Ezekiel. But in that vision, he was led into such depths no other prophet had seen before him. And still those chapters 40, 41, 42, 43 till 46 about that new temple, they are so deep and so difficult. Reverend Lemain, he wanted to understand those visions, and in his catechism sermons, he speaks about that he had looked for sermons of ministers in our times, and that he had go into the old writers, and hardly ever that he could find something reliable in the explanation of the vision of the New Testament. And he wanted to preach about it, but he had to say who is qualified to give a sermon about that. I have searched so often in my life in the writings of the foremost and greatest theologians. But what he later saw, that the Lord used a son of man, that although Ezekiel was led so much into the depths of the new temple with all the details, the hooks and all the small parts of that temple, which are so difficult for us to understand the meaning of it, but that the Lord revealed that unto a man like all of us, a son of man, Ezekiel. He never could become more than a son of man. The Lord kept him low at the ground, and that was the best place. Those that are nothing in their own eyes, those the Lord can use in his service. As a son of man, the Lord wanted to reveal the depth of the New Testament church here on earth. As a child, he was already prepared for it, and now serving in that new temple. And he saw waters. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Issued out those waters. What are those waters? Oh, in the Dutch marginal note, there is a very clear explanation. These waters are typifying the wholesome and saving doctrine of the gospel with the abundant gifts of the Holy Spirit under the New Testament. Ezekiel, in that image of the waters, he sees that the preaching, when it is accompanied by the operation of the Holy Spirit, that is in the New Testament the way in which the Lord is building his church here on earth. That is how the Holy Spirit works, typified by waters, the wholesome doctrine of the church. It's like pure water. The gospel is so pure. It is the gospel, that good and sweet message. It came from under the threshold, and Ezekiel saw how pure that water was, that it was the gift of the Holy Spirit to his church, and that it multiplied in abundant gifts for the New Testament church. Then we see already so much of the work of God in the New Testament church. He works through his word, but never, never, never without that operation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I want, with all that is within me, urge you to bow your knees before you go to church, that you only would expect it from the operation of the Holy Spirit. That is what we stand so much in need of in the New Testament church, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our congregations? And where comes that work of the Holy Spirit then from? From under the threshold, Ezekiel saw that water coming from the sanctuary. It came from the place where the Lord did dwell. What is that? Oh, our fathers, again in the marginal notes, they help us so much. And they compared scripture with scripture. And they say of the New Testament and of the sanctuary, which indeed was previously in Jerusalem. And then they mention several places from scripture where it is said that those wholesome streams come from Jerusalem, from Zion, from heaven, and from the throne of God. Ezekiel is receiving a new revelation where that work of the Holy Spirit comes from. It comes from that sanctuary. It comes from God Himself. Oh, that is a deep thought. That the Lord from never-ending eternity in His counsel already prepared for the church of our days what would be necessary, an outpouring the water of the Holy Spirit. Oh, when you have received a little of that water in your life, it is not yet immediately clear where that comes from. Oh, when your eyes are opened and you are weeping because of sins in your lives, and you see what in awful condition you are and what never-ending eternity is, oh no, then you do not say, I am converted now and that is the clear work of God and that comes from eternity, and now I am also enclosed in the counsel of God and I am counted under the number of the elect. No, that has to be revealed. And here in the end of the chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel receives some light where that work of the Holy Spirit now comes from. Oh, that is such a thing. When the people of the Lord, when they are led by that man with that measuring line, it is Christ who has to reveal that in your life, that there is a beginning that came from never-ending eternity. Then we read in this first verse of chapter 47, such a comforting message, that water that does not come from our mind, it is not because I believe and I have faith and I count myself among God's people. No, when there is a beginning, it stems from the stillness of eternity. It is from the good pleasure of God, that great a miracle, not from man. And now Ezekiel receives something of a personal sharing in that work. But there is more in it, not only that it comes from the sanctuary, it also says that it water came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So that water came from the sanctuary and it came from God, and in the sanctuary it flew around the altar. Before it left the temple, that water flew around the altar. And the children can help me. What is the altar? That points to the blood of Jesus Christ. So before the Holy Spirit starts to work in a heart of a child or a young person or an older person, it comes from the work of Christ. Oh, He is the exalted Christ sitting on his throne after his ascension into heaven, and from thence he sends his Spirit in his church. And Ezekiel in those olden days, he was privileged to see that. Our Father say that is a type, that altar of our Lord Christ and of his only sacrifice, where he merited for us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that new life that comes there because there is a good pleasure, and because Christ did shed his blood on the altar of Golgotha, and therefore there can come new life. And before we elaborate a little more on that, let us first sing from Psalter 27, the fifth stanza. The lines are fallen unto me in places large and fair. A goodly heritage is mine, marked out with gracious care. 27, verse 5. There are still two questions left that ask for an answer. And the one question is what those waters do. Those waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. Issued out in the original. It is give out or deliver. It is a broad word in the origin of a river, but also a mother delivering a child. There you have the work, the operation of the Holy Spirit as a delivery. Then a new child is born. That water is issued out from the temple, and it ran out, we read in verse 2, out of the city. Ran out, that is flowing. It is not water that stands still. It is flowing. There is always life in it. If there is no flow in that water, it becomes dirty and with an awful smell. But that work of the Holy Spirit that is flowing, there is a continuance in it. But it ran out, that means that it is a very small stream. When Ezekiel saw it, it came out of the city. It is as it were that it dripped. It was not a full river at its beginning, but just some gentle flow, like you have a bottle with oil, and then a small nice stream flows out. That is the beginning of the life of God in the heart. And then that flowing water that goes eastwards. I do not know whether you ever have been in Jerusalem, but when we were at theological school, we had to visit Israel to see the land of the Bible. And what surprised me so much is when you were leaving Jerusalem, within 20 minutes, you are in the middle of the desert. when you go from Jerusalem eastward, then you come in very hot places, and there this river is flowing. That is the direction of the operation of the Holy Spirit, and I think that you will understand its meaning, that in dark, dry places, there the operation of the Holy Spirit comes. Is that not comforting for a people that live in a dry place where there is no hope for life? And this stream is in the direction eastward of the desert. So there you have not to think that it was immediately a wide stream. No, it started as a gentle dripping of water, and then in a hot place of the desert, and then what kind of waters were shown. And then we come to that application. What Ezekiel now saw in that vision, that small stream which was in the beginning so small, he had that man with the measuring line had to point that out to Ezekiel. There you see a beginning. Watch carefully until it. That is how the Lord work begin. And then Ezekiel had to follow that man. And that man determined how far Ezekiel could go. And there is again such a lesson for spiritual life. God's people, and even the prophets and also the office bearers, they cannot go any step further than that they are being led by this man with the measuring line. Christ determines the direction, and Christ is determining how far they should go. And Ezekiel had to walk into that desert, and at a certain moment, after that man had measured 1,000 cubits, 500 meters, but 1,000 steps, it was that Ezekiel didn't know that. But afterwards he heard it were 1,000 cubits, and at that point Ezekiel was allowed to see the water again. And it was not dried up in the desert, in that dry place. No, it was so nice for his feet in the desert. When he entered into that water, he felt it on his ankles. If you, during the day, put your ankles in a bucket of water, and it is just like this, but when it is cold water, you feel that in your entire body. Oh, that was so special to the prophet in the middle of the desert. Suddenly, oh, it was not yet very deep water, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit to receive a smile from on high, to receive a token of the Lord's favor in the middle of the desert. Oh, that gladdens the heart so much. And he wanted to stay in that river. But no, he had to go through the river. And then at the bank of the river again, in the dry land, he had to walk further. And that man that took Ezekiel didn't want, but he had to follow, and he did so. And so it is in the life of grace. And at a sudden moment, again Ezekiel had to go to the water side, and to go into the water, and then the water was to his knees. Now he receives more of that work of the Holy Spirit. He might see what that is, a promise from the Lord, pointing to that mediator of our salvation. Oh, when that happens in your life, to get direction to Christ in some of the promises of God's word, then life in the desert is changing so much. A token of the Lord's favor, it is so special. You never forget, but it could very well happen that when it happens here in church and you leave church, that immediately it disappears and you have to go back into the desert, but and from such a token you cannot live, then there need to come more. And he was pointed to that work of the Lord Jesus, and in that water, when you go in that water, to follow Christ in his humiliation, and when the Holy Spirit points to Christ and shows him in his names, in his offices, in his states, in his natures, in his benefits, oh, then there is so much to see in Christ. But then there comes a moment he had to leave the water and in the desert follow his journey. And then it was so hot in that journey. Oh, then you need again that water. And oh, then he had that man with the measuring line led him back to the waters. And then that water was wider. Oh, that's always with that work of the Holy Spirit, with that life of grace. Each new step in the life of grace, there is more depth in it, and there is a furtherance in it, when not only you are being pointed to Christ, not only that you might see him with the eyes of faith, but when he becomes your mediator in reconciliation, then after Ezekiel had to leave that water, after a certain point there came that water that came so deep. Peace with God, reconciliation, those are waters, that covenant of grace to be included in it, to receive the right to eternal life, those are waters. A triune God, and not only to receive a mediator, but to be reconciled to God the Father, and then to see so much of that Holy Spirit in all his fullness, then you no longer can remain standing. Then all ground under your feet will disappear. And so it was with Ezekiel, waters to swim when the Lord is teaching. Oh, that is the message for tonight. There is a very small beginning, and that is where it comes through, that there is a beginning in our lives, but it will continue further and further. Thou waterest the riches thereof, Psalm 65, abundantly, and Psalm 36, from the rivers of unfailing joy, our thirst shall be supplied. Children, the Lord had revealed to Ezekiel in a vision things that were not seen by other people. And I tell you, when you receive a new heart of God, when that Holy Spirit starts to work in your heart, then things are happening that you did not see before, that you cannot understand, but you feel something is happening in your life. Then you cannot play like other children, and you have so many questions, but there is a drawing towards God, and then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Oh, that is what you need. Shall you ask every day to the Lord for a new heart, for the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, that there is a beginning, and where the Lord begins, then he will fulfill. And where does it come from? From the thoughts of an eternal God. I cannot understand the little parts of it, but the only thing I can say, this is such a wonder. You will swim into it, and it needs eternity to get the fullness of that, the eternal counsel of God, that he wants to have a people reconciled with himself. And now, not only that it comes from the thoughts of that eternal God, eternal thoughts, but that water flows around the altar. There is a foundation to receive the love of God in your heart. And your minister, I am sure, he will endeavor to preach about that, how there comes a foundation in your life, that the beginning is out of God, and that there is a ground for it. And those things, people of God, where are those things now learned the most? Most of the journey of Ezekiel was in a dry place, was in the desert, and from time to time, when that man with the measuring line did put him by hand and led him to that river. Oh, the closer you are with that man and with the measuring line, the more communion with Christ, the more you will taste the fullness in the work of God. And then the Apostle Paul, and we close with that, writes to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, shall more and more increase, strengthen and preserve. Thou waterest the riches thereof abundantly. Amen. O Lord, thou hast given in the midst of the week that we were privileged to enter into thy holy house, to hear a little of that work, that operation of the Holy Spirit, how it should be, how it would be in New Testament times. And now we ask thee, wilt thou be the after preacher, that we not only might see those things, but that we might taste and experience the truth of it, that there is a beginning in our life and also a furtherance, O Lord. We acknowledge thy holy name that thou hast helped through in preaching. It was with weakness and shortcomings, but wilt thou forgive what was amiss, and wilt thou bless the sermon for thy own name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Be with us when we go home, each and everyone with its own concerns, and will thou work in the midst of this flock here on earth? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing together from Psalter 94, the stanza 3 and 4. With the abundance of thy house we shall be satisfied, and what follows in 3 and 4 of 94. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion, the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.